We say every week in the Creed that we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven. But what does that mean, and what's the significance of the ascension to our faith? Perhaps it might help to think for a moment about the place of the ascension in the whole story of God's work in the world from the beginning to the end. Where does it fit in? Perhaps we can think of God's work of creation and salvation as being a bit like a drama. It opens with Act 1, Scene 1, with the creation. Act 1 continues with the story of Abraham and the patriarchs and God's relationship to the people of Israel, as told in the Old Testament. Act 2 opens with the birth of Jesus as a new phase in God's purposes begins, when he comes among us as a human being. And Act 2 includes Jesus' life and ministry, his teaching and healings, his death and resurrection. And of course, we read about that in the Gospels. Act 3 is about God's work in the church through the power of the Spirit, which we read about in the book of Acts and Paul's letters. And Act 4 is the final act, which contains the return of Christ, the last judgment, the new heavens and the new earth, and the flourishing of the heavenly city where God dwells with his people. And we've been focusing on this on the last two Sundays in church as we've been reflecting on readings from the book of Revelation. So what about the ascension? Well, the ascension is the key event which links Act 2 with Act 3. It marks the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and the beginning of the work of the Spirit through the church. Therefore, as we've heard in our readings this morning, the ascension is described both at the end of Luke's Gospel and at the beginning of the book of Acts, also, of course, written by Luke. In our Gospel reading, Jesus looks back and explains the way that the law and the prophets point forward to him and his ministry and all that he has accomplished in the present through his death and resurrection. But he also looks forward to the future as he tells the disciples they have a task to do. They are to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The purposes of God, as seen in the Old Testament and in the ministry of Jesus, will now continue in their work. You are my witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This, of course, is the Holy Spirit who will be with them and in them and equip them to share in God's purposes. So as Jesus is parted from his disciples, it is not a tearful goodbye, because it is not the end of something, but also the beginning, the promise of a new beginning. As Jesus ascends to heaven, the disciples worshipped him, and we're told returned to Jerusalem with great joy as they await the coming of the Spirit. The ascension is a key moment in God's drama of salvation. Jesus' earthly life is over and he returns to the Father. The resurrection had vindicated Jesus as God's chosen one, and the ascension further reminds us of who Jesus is. He is not only the earthly man who lived at a particular time, who healed and taught the crowds, who was responded to with both love and hatred, a man who ate food, slept, laughed and cried, suffered and died. Jesus is the risen Lord. He is the majestic, eternal Son who existed before he came to live among us. At the ascension, he returns to the Father who sent him into the world. And as he returns to the Father, he takes our humanity with him. Our human nature is in Jesus, exalted in God. Our humanity is taken into the heart of God, the Trinity. What an amazing thing. Our The ascension completes what began with Jesus' birth in the incarnation. God humbled himself in becoming human to live with us, and now, in the risen, ascended Jesus, we have the promise that we will one day live with him. So Jesus' ascension points forward to the final act in God's drama, when all things will be made new and men and women will live with God forever. Meanwhile, we have Act 3, the time of the church. This act began with Jesus passing on the task of proclaiming the gospel to his disciples and the coming of the Spirit. But of course, this act is still going on now. This is our time now, and we are a part of it. Just as the first disciples were called to be witnesses to all they had seen and heard and believed about Jesus, so are we. We are not spectators. We are participants in this drama of God's salvation. The task of making disciples of all nations, declaring Jesus' transforming love and forgiveness, is our task. Well, we may feel we are simply not up to it. Who are we to preach and live God's forgiveness, healing, and promise of new life? How can God work through us in all our weakness and apathy, our lack of faith and love? But of course, we are not called to do this on our own. Like the first disciples, we are promised the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to pray earnestly for a deepening awareness of and openness to the Spirit among us and within us. Some of you may perhaps have heard of the global prayer initiative called Thy Kingdom Come, which encourages Christians all across the world to make more time to pray, particularly in these days from Ascension Day to Pentecost. This prayer initiative started in 2016 when the Archbishops of Canterbury and York encouraged Christians to pray for relatives, friends, and neighbours who did not know Christ. The movement has grown, and now Christians from over 80 different denominations and 172 countries across the world take part. We are encouraged to pray, Thy kingdom come, and come, Holy Spirit. To pray for the work of the Spirit in our own lives and the lives of our churches. And we are especially encouraged to pray for the work of the Spirit in the lives of those close to us, those who do not know God's love in Christ. And it's suggested that we each pray for 5 people. It will be wonderful if all of us could join in with this. There are many Thy Kingdom Come resources available for individuals and families, for adults and children. And I've sent out some links to these in my email yesterday. They include short daily reflections, prayers, and videos. There are also 2 little booklets written by the Archbishop of Canterbury, which I mentioned in my email, but I have a few hard copies here. I've got a few printed at the back if anyone wants to take one. One is a prayer journal aimed at prompting our personal prayers and reflections during these coming 10 days. And the other is a little booklet with some short reflections on the letter of 1 Peter. As those first disciples prayed for the Spirit, we too are encouraged to pray for the Spirit, to empower us and to strengthen us as we play our part, that we may be signs of God's kingdom. So today, Ascension Day, marks a key moment in God's purposes. We celebrate the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and the exaltation of Christ, and the mystery that our humanity is in him, taken up into God's life. We also celebrate the promise of the Spirit, the calling to us now to share in God's purposes in this world. And we look to the future, when all God's purposes will be fulfilled and his kingdom will come. So let us pray, Thy kingdom come, and come, Holy Spirit. Amen.